Welcome to the ASHP Official Podcast, your guide to issues related to medication use, public health, and the profession of pharmacy.
Thank you for joining us for this ASHP Pharmacy Leadership Podcast. This series focuses on leadership topics within pharmacy practice, including business of pharmacy, the development of leadership skills, career transitions, and more. My name is Allison Gorseth. I'm an emergency medicine pharmacy specialist and PGY1 residency program coordinator at Hartford Hospital. I'm also a member of the New Practitioners Forum Clinical Practice Advisory Group. And today, I will be your host. Today, we'll be sitting down with Ami Shah and Calvin Ice to discuss tips and tricks for new practitioners transitioning into the leadership and management roles. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today. So my first question for you two is if you guys could introduce yourself, your current role, and what inspired you to transition into leadership early on in your career.
Thank you, Allison. My name is Calvin Ice, and I am currently Pharmacy Manager of Training and Education at Corewell Health and the PGY1 Pharmacy Residency Program Director at Corewell Health Grand Rapids Hospitals. I got interested in leadership relatively early in my career when I was going through pharmacy school, and due to some internship experiences, I had really focused my training in a clinical aspect, but continued to be involved with ASHP from a leadership perspective for all of pharmacy school and post-graduation as well, in order to continue to build some leadership skills through the organization. I completed a PGY1 followed by a PGY2 residency in critical care. And even throughout that training, and as I took my first role as a clinical pharmacy specialist for surgery and anesthesia, really gravitated towards team management and a lot of the administrative aspects of my work as well. So when an opportunity came up about 4 years into my role as a clinical specialist, I transitioned to a role as a clinical pharmacy supervisor, where I get to take on even more administrative responsibilities, really focus in on training and education of our team, a lot of team building, a lot of orientation of new team members, including our pharmacy students, residents, and interns, and really found my passion there and found that they're great groups of individuals to work with. And it's great to be able to coordinate things for our learners, along with our team members and their preceptors, to make sure that everybody has a great experience. And so I've really enjoyed that aspect, and it's part of the reason why I've continued along the leadership trajectory and am now just recently starting a role as a pharmacy manager for training and education, but continuing to involve leadership within my organization and within my day job, as well as being involved with ASHP and the section of clinical specialists and scientists, has been really rewarding to my growth.
That was great, Calvin. Thank you for the introduction, Allison. I'm very excited to be here with you guys today. My name is Ami. I'm a critical care board certified pharmacist, and my path was kind of similar to Calvin's, but also a little bit different. So I did my residency in critical care at Thomas Jefferson University. And from there, I became initially a clinical pharmacy specialist at UPMC in the medical and surgical ICU. And then when I moved to New York, I took a position in the CTACU, and that's where I found myself in a leadership position, but it was a little bit different than Calvin's in the example that New York, in terms of their pharmacy model, has union pharmacists. And so their clinical pharmacists became clinical pharmacy managers, responsible for some of the staff pharmacists, and also kind of just marrying the clinical pharmacy world with the operational world. In response to how I kind of transitioned into a leadership role, I think initially it started just because I was passionate about critical care pharmacy, not necessarily admin or leadership, but that came with spearheading committees, research, et cetera. But on an operational department level, like I said, because of the pharmacy model that I found myself in, being a clinical specialist also made you a clinical pharmacy manager, then working with the operational and admin side of it to advance leadership. Outside of the professional day-to-day job and just volunteerism, I think I was really just driven for passion, for impact beyond just the patient level, mainly opportunities for innovation and interdisciplinary collaboration. So in terms of leadership, I found myself outside of the pharmacy really just looking for more interdisciplinary collab, getting involved with more committees, spearheading research initiatives, and just trying to push the boundaries and advance pharmacy practice, not just institutionally, but also with ASHP.
Thank you, Calvin and Ami. So both of you guys have a different career path that took you to where you are today, but what are some key skills and qualities that you believe are essential for success in a pharmacy leadership role?
Absolutely. That's a great question. I'll try to tackle that question for my leadership strategy really revolves around the ability to build strong relationships. I think that's really the cornerstone of it for me. In my ideal world, I think an effective leader is one who guides by example and maintains the ability to inspire, stimulate, and empathize with others and have an effect on others. But I think being able to really motivate others and accomplish that relies upon that cornerstone of building those strong relationships. I think the stronger those relationships, the more individuals strive not only to improve themselves, but also those around them. And recognizing that your peers are all working towards the same goal, whether that be in the pharmacy or even just institutions like this with ASHP, I think it provides a sense of belonging, unity, and inspiration. And then with that sense of togetherness, the group members are more likely to be committed to the cause and involved in decision-making processes. I really firmly believe that when a group of individuals are working towards the same goal with that unified mindset, trust, and understanding, there's no ends to what can be accomplished.
All right. Thanks, Ami, for going through that. I wholeheartedly agree with all of those. And I'm going to share a couple of qualities that I find really important, but I also just want to highlight that, you know, these are by no means the only qualities leaders should focus on. These are a couple things that stand out to me. There are many, many qualities and skills our leaders should focus on. And one that's really important to me, and it's one of our organizational core values as well, where I work, is collaboration. I think collaboration and being able to collaborate effectively and work with teams can get you as a leader a long ways. It helps you not only to work with other leaders effectively, but helps you to work with your team effectively if you know how to collaborate with those individuals. So that's one thing that I purposefully focus on a lot in my role. Another one that I think has helped me to be successful is just staying organized and having a good understanding of our processes and how our teams work. Especially me working primarily with all of our learners, I need to have a good organizational skill set in order to know how to schedule people appropriately for rotations or keep track of different educational presentations that individuals have coming up and be able to schedule those accordingly for our teams. So for me, organization is really important. As I said, many, many other qualities are very important for individual success and leadership.
Thank you so much for talking about those key skills and qualities. While we all want to believe maybe these skills and qualities can arise overnight, we all acknowledge that there's some common challenges and obstacles that new pharmacy leadership often face. How did you two navigate these challenges in your early leadership career, whether these are staying up to date with new regulations and best practices, or even advocating for yourself and your own professional development early on in your career?
Thanks, Allison. I think that's a great question to go through. And I think that as a new leader, as many new practitioners, one of the things to keep in mind is not getting caught up in taking on too much. You'll find that as a new practitioner and potentially as a new leader, as you get started in roles, you may be willing to say yes to many things in order to help the team along, to make the changes that you've wanted to see take place. But if you take that approach and continue along that trajectory, that can lead to a lot of stress and a lot of potential for burnout. And so having good strategies for resiliency and well-being, I think, is really critical to work on in order to face some of those challenges. And I think just developing an approach of realizing what is something that you as a leader should tackle, take, and own versus what can you help to facilitate with your team? What are some things that your team members can contribute to? Are there things that you can entrust to team members that is going to help them with their professional development, while also giving you opportunity to continue to focus on other things? And I think that, you know, for me, that was one challenge I saw as a new leader, is getting involved in finding the right balance of support as well as things that I tackled on my own. And that's definitely something I would encourage other leaders as they, you know, evolve in their roles to recognize as a potential challenge or an obstacle.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with Calvin. I think this is a great question. And I think one of the biggest challenges that I notice from a pharmacy perspective as a profession is that there's a wide variance nationwide on what the role of pharmacy is within healthcare systems. So from an institutional level, I think at least in the Northeast, what I noticed is that one of the challenges for pharmacy leadership is really finding that interdisciplinary collaboration and setting the stage of what pharmacy can accomplish. So in order to overcome it, I think I go back to what Calvin and I were talking about in terms of what makes a good leader, both collaboration and relationship building. So really just finding the champions and physician and nursing partnerships that you can work with and basically come to an agreement on what you're looking to accomplish and then work together as a team to then take that through and establish yourself and where pharmacy really sits in that nuanced relationship.
from an operational level, I think some of the challenges would be resistance to change, especially as we see AI coming up, new EMR systems coming up. I think one that's really been highlighted for me in the last few years has been the turnover. I think especially with the COVID pandemic, there's been a large turnover of both nursing, pharmacy, and medical staff, and that creates a few operational challenges as well. And then on a personal level, kind of what Calvin was talking about, I think time management as a new practitioner has been definitely a challenge, and just learning how to, as Calvin mentioned, delegate, understanding that you can't say yes to everything, and learning how to prioritize, you know, what's urgent, what needs to get done right now, and what can potentially be on the back burner for a little bit has been primarily how I've tackled that. But I think that's still a work in progress.
I want to hone down on what you just made a comment on, Ami. How would you provide a recommendation? What advice would you give a new pharmacy leader on how to manage those diverse pharmacy teams, both within the pharmacy department and externally, with all these varying skills and personalities? What piece of advice would you give this new pharmacy leader?
Absolutely. So I think from a personal standpoint, when I first came to New York, I mentioned that I transitioned to a CTACU setting. I think that was the most eye-opening for me for a few reasons. One, I was critical care trained, but not specifically in the CTACU. I think I had like a 4 to 6 week rotation once in a CTACU. So it was a new setting for me. On top of that, I was the first pharmacy specialist they had ever had. And surgeons are kind of notorious for almost dismissing pharmacy, especially in the Northeast, that, you know, they're not sure what pharmacy can provide. They think that we're just kind of the gatekeepers for some of their prized, more expensive agents. And so I think it really comes down, at least for me, it came down to relationship building and then also demonstrating competence and then being consistent with that competence. Like, you know, this is what I can provide. And then as that continues and you just keep consistent with that, they start not only understanding what your value is, but then expecting and requesting that value and asking like, hey, what is your experience here? And then asking you to then eventually take initiative and start getting involved with more things. I think at least the team that I started with when I was working at Mount Sinai and the CTACU, they were first very resistant to having pharmacy presence. And eventually it came to the point of they would not start rounds without a pharmacist. And I think that for me really helped highlight that demonstrating your relationships, demonstrating your confidence and being consistent with that would be, I think, the biggest three takeaways that I could have.
All right. And I can add into that one as well. So in my role, I have about 25 pharmacy interns who report to me directly, and I oversee 10 pharmacy residents and have about a dozen longitudinal APPE students. And so with that 40 to 50 team members, there's obviously very varying sets of skills that the individuals have, as well as different personalities and different goals that each of these individuals have. And so I found to be successful in helping these individuals on their learning pathway and their career journey is to really focus in on what does the learner want to get out of their experience, whether it's our internship program, whether it's our longitudinal APPE program, or our pharmacy residency. And I think that's one thing that has been really helpful is helping those learners tailor their experience to not only the skills they need to develop, but also developing within their interest areas and figuring out what that next step in their career might be. So focusing specifically on our pharmacy residents, each year we get residents that are interested in a wide variety of topics. You know, some want to finish their PGY1 residency and move directly into practice in the inpatient setting. Others want to go on to do PGY2s in specialty fields. And so trying to design a program that is going to challenge all those individuals equally and still develop them to a similar point in their skill set and have them become competent clinical pharmacists or clinicians going forward, whether it's taking that step into independent practice or continuing their training as a PGY2 resident, I think has definitely been a challenge. But I think being able to focus in with the individuals and find what they're most passionate about and what their goals are has been successful in helping to manage a team or a program of residents with diverse interests is by keeping things individualized for your team member so that they're able to explore their areas of interest and continue to build skills and work on skills that they recognize and that their preceptors help them recognize are things that are important.
Thank you. One question that I would like to address on is throughout your two wealth of experience as pharmacy leaders, can you share any tips or tricks you have for the term called managing up? So we're seeing a new wave of pharmacy leaders that are becoming younger than their peers, but have shown an interest in leadership, whether this is through an a renowned or new renovation in wellness in the pharmacy field, an emphasis on that. Pharmacy leaders are getting younger and younger compared to their counterparts. What tips would you give to these new younger leaders as they are now placed in a situation where they have to lead those that have potentially more experience in a given field compared to what they have at that moment?
Yeah, I think this is a great question to focus in on, and one that's a little bit challenging as well. And for the examples that I'll go through, I'll draw from a couple of experiences I've had. And one was leading some system pharmacy career framework with pharmacy directors when I was in a supervisor role. They tagged me to help facilitate our series and discussion on how we wanted to approach our pharmacist job codes going forward and how we wanted to potentially make some changes there. And then another system initiative I got to be involved with is some integration with our electronic medical record and some of our clinical pharmacy workflows, and being able to work with managers from across the system and being responsible to facilitate those discussions. And so as a supervisor in both situations, I was not only working with individuals that had more experience than me, but also individuals that had higher titles than me. And I was expected to continue to keep both these projects moving. And so with this, I'm fortunate to work in an organization of mutual respect and collaboration. And so in these discussions, titling was not a big issue for us to overcome because we value opinions of our team members and, you know, want to be able to collaborate effectively. And so that was one thing that helped set us up for success. But I think a couple other strategies I used in trying to manage up in these situations was staying organized and having a plan for discussion. What are the things that we needed to get through in a particular meeting for a particular week so that we didn't lose sight of making incremental progress, even if our discussion started devolving into some of the specifics? How did we, you know, how could we keep things moving and refocus and reorient discussions? And so that was one strategy that I tried to utilize in these settings and managing up, is just keeping our goals in mind and helping to remind the team of what we needed to accomplish in a given week. And I think the other aspect that helped me be successful in these particular situations was by asking the right questions of these other individuals. And I think that that's really a key thing for new leaders that are potentially put in a situation where they have to manage up, trying to critically evaluate what you're being told by other leaders or by other pharmacists that have more experience than you, is asking them the right questions to really understand the process, what their thought process is, and, you know, take their wealth of experience that they have and seek to learn and grow from it. And so I think coming at things with both a collaborative and a questioning attitude was really key to being successful in trying to manage up.
Yeah, I agree with everything Kevin mentioned. I think the only thing I would add to that is I think leading with inclusivity and trust is helpful. It's similar to Calvin, especially because, like I mentioned, our staff was union as a clinical pharmacy manager. There were people who had been practicing for maybe over 30, 40 years. And here I was kind of as a new practitioner put in this leadership position. But I think with that is an opportunity to really, again, just be inclusive, respect their experience, and know that you're coming from a place of just seeking their input and incorporating their insights, being willing to take initiative and initiatives that are important for you, the leadership team, and for the people who have been there for that long, being transparent and honest in your communications, delivering on your promises. One thing that I really liked recently, I transitioned from a clinical pharmacy manager to a medical science liaison with Johnson & Johnson. And when I first started my role, there was a training that they did with the team where you just kind of openly talked, or you took an exam kind of looking at your strengths and weaknesses. And then there was an open dialogue of what you think your strengths. And I think the reason I really liked that is because I think that happens in day-to-day practice anyway. It just often happens through often assumptions. And I really liked that in this situation, especially being introduced to a team for the first time, that you're able to openly talk about what you think your strengths are and where you think your weaknesses are and which projects you would rather avoid for certain reasons and which ones you would rather take on, rather than assumptions and being, you know, tasked with something that you're not interested in and so on and so forth. I think in addition to that, the only thing I would add would just be having clear expectations and goals, adapting your leadership style, as Calvin already mentioned, whether if it's a new learner that you're looking to train, whether you need to be a little bit more hands-on or if you want to be a little more independent if they've had more experience. and leading by example and, you know, really dealing with effective conflict management. I think conflict is often shied away from, but I think it's a great opportunity to have open dialogue of what the issues are and how we want to move forward as a team.
Thank you both for sharing that. I think you guys both touch on a very interesting point of not taking this new managerial or leadership role as a detriment, but as a moment to collaborate both and learn something from different individuals on your team. Hamid took an interesting point and said, take projects that you feel passionate about and projects that are you interested in. How do you prioritize tasks and responsibilities as a pharmacy leader, especially when you are faced with multiple competing demands from all different angles?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a work in progress still. I think assessing urgency and importance is one of, especially in the critical care setting, is probably the utmost, I think, important. And then delegating effectively, if you have people on your team who are interested in certain things, using their strengths to advantages, communicating priorities, I think is important. But I mean, the one thing I would highlight is, as much advice as we'd like to give on this podcast, I would like to note that burnout in the pharmacy world is very real and that it's still an opportunity for advancement, I think, in this profession as a whole. I think what I'm really excited about in the future is working with organizations like ASHP to create an ideal standard of what a clinical pharmacy manager or just clinical leadership or even just leadership in pharmacy in general should look like. How much time should they have protected for research initiatives, administration, et cetera? I think there's a lot of great standards out there for example, for residents and for what the residency program itself should look like. But I think the preceptors are prone to burnout. And there has been a recent exodus, I think, including myself, of people who've left clinical practice for various reasons. And it's something I'm incredibly passionate about. So it's unfortunate to have, you know, not been able to balance life priorities with clinical practice. So I think it's definitely an opportunity for advancement. And I look forward to working on new initiatives to help create a better balance in that field.
Ami, thanks for sharing that. I think my perspective on prioritizing the tasks and responsibilities as a leader is that it is very difficult to figure out the right approach, especially for new leaders. And so I don't think there's an answer that's a one size fits all. I think it's very individualized based on the organization and based on the team that you're working with. I can tell you, I guess, most recently, what's been successful for me is working to rotate between different responsibilities and really make my focus what needs to happen for that particular time period and develop my priorities based off of what is due most soon in the near future. So for example, within the last week, I've had several different priorities I've had to work through. We had our system had a big electronic medical record integration change and update on Sunday of this past week. And so leading up to this initiative, my last 2 weeks have been focused almost entirely on team education and preparation and tracking of resources for this change that was happening. When this change occurred, my priorities had to shift to being at the elbow support for our team members and helping to troubleshoot and solve issues. And after we got through the first few days of that, I was able to shift my priorities back to a few other things I needed to catch up on, focusing on my residents and my interns in terms of planning for next year and putting some things together and moving a few things along as we prepare to hire a new class of interns. And then today I had, you know, great plans of trying to continue to catch up on some things related to our residents, but got a little bit sidelined based on some HR issues that came up and things that needed to be worked through. And so I think just keeping in mind that you may have a plan for what you need to work on, but being able to be flexible and adapt and make those changes and really focus on what is most important for the team at that particular point in time, as well as what individuals on your team may need at that particular point in time as well, as vitally important, because you will have team members that are going through rough patches. You may have to pivot from your plan to spend 2 hours summarizing data to be able to report out at a meeting next week. And you may have to spend those 2 hours working directly with a team member to get through an issue. And so I think just being able to maintain flexibility and really recognize what is the priority at the moment and developing strategies to continue to work around that and still get all of your responsibilities done when you need to. So working ahead when you're able is really something to try to strive towards, but certainly something that's really going to be dependent upon individuals and situations.
I really appreciate that answer because I think we all want that simple one-size-fits-all approach, which I think is impossible in this day and age, but the emphasis on flexibility, that every day is going to change, so you need to be able to pivot your goals and your expectations accordingly. What advice do you have for maintaining a healthy work-life balance while fulfilling the responsibilities of your pharmacy leadership role?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great question. I think building on what we already talked about, setting boundaries, I think, is important. Understanding what's urgent at the moment, what you have the bandwidth to contribute to, and even outside of just bandwidth, what you're passionate about and what you'd like to take on, what you are able to contribute to various projects. And then additionally, seeking out protected time, I think, with your administration is important, whether that be for research initiatives or even if you have administrative projects like working on a protocol or anything like that, being able to have protected time for that while you're at work so that you're not taking your work home. I think one of the biggest things for me when I was transitioning from residency into being a full-time practitioner was that I should no longer be working the way that I was working during residency as a new practitioner, just simply because it's not sustainable for long-term work-life balance. I think a part of that would be I used to work almost in time chunks. So the beginning of my day would be dedicated to patient care, and the afternoons would be dedicated to whatever I think is most urgent at the time, kind of to, as Calvin mentioned, just assessing your priorities and changing as you need. I think having that protected time between meetings or between patient care to give time, dedicated time to things that you're working on that you think are of utmost importance without having to take that work home. And I think the second part of this question for me would be working with organizations like ASHP to create an ideal standard of what time as a clinical leader or even just a pharmacy leader should look like or could look like potentially. I think one of the ASHP is that given the variances between all of the different hospitals and healthcare systems throughout the nation, ASHP is great at creating almost a gold standard or a practice model of what can be done for other organizations to look at. And so I think that's an exciting time to reflect on what other institutions are doing around the country and trying to create an ideal standard of what we can do to better protect our pharmacy leadership and make it so that it's sustainable long term.
All right. And I don't know that I have a lot of great things to add to that on how to maintain a healthy work-life balance, but I've got a few suggestions from a work perspective on things to consider. And one of the things that's important to me is working to recognize what you can do versus what you need to do for a given situation. And so again, going back to empowering your team to help with things, or also recognizing maybe when something isn't the right time to move forward with something. It may be a project that you can do, but is it something that you need to do at this point in time that's going to cause you stress and that's going to make the rest of what you need to do kind of take a shift to the back burner? So think about that in terms of recognizing the best approach for maybe a few different things that you're trying to juggle. As Ami said, there will certainly be days that are long. As a leader, you're probably not going to avoid taking home work. But I think with that, I think it's important to set your boundaries and recognize what is acceptable to you and what isn't. For me, for example, I get very busy in May and June when I'm onboarding new interns and students in May and then onboarding new residents in June. And so at those points in time, I recognize I'm going to have some long days as I prepare to be ready for those new team members, because a lot of the rest of my job doesn't pause during those timeframes. But I have to shift priorities a bit and focus my time differently during those time periods. I found that it can be effective when you work directly with teams to help promote some reflection on work-life balance and well-being by just intentionally pausing with your team and asking them how they're doing, or if you have one-on-ones with your team members, really taking some time to just pause and reflect together. I personally am a very task-oriented person, so unless I am very conscious about taking time to ask how somebody is doing or taking time to pause and reflect with somebody, it's something that I'm probably going to overlook. And I know a lot of leaders might be in that same situation. And so I think that just developing strategies to be able to pause and intentionally reflect, not only with your team and your team members, but also with yourself, is vitally important to trying to maintain a healthy work-life balance. And I guess the other work-related strategy that I wanted to recommend with this is being able to find time to focus. And It depends on your organization and your modes of communication, but it could look like shutting off your Microsoft Teams notifications or turning off your email to be able to focus uninterrupted for a particular task that needs to get done so that you don't have to get messages or notifications that somebody has a question about something and that's going to cause you to be distracted from your task at hand. And now you got to take that task home at night. So that's one recommendation, is being able to turn off those things when appropriate so that you can focus and get things done, which hopefully will help you be a little bit more productive when you have that particular opportunity. But again, I'll just stress that these are some workplace related strategies and certainly not a good comprehensive overview of all the resources to maintaining a healthy work-life balance and maintaining your well-being. So I know ASHP has a lot of resources and there are lots of apps out there as well, and would highly encourage people to evaluate some of those and utilize them as they work best in their work life.
Yeah, I think we addressed an important topic that healthy work-life balance and maintaining one's wellness is an ongoing strategy and something that needs to be addressed on a continuous basis. One piece of advice that I received from one of my favorite mentors was celebrate your successes. So can both of you share a memorable success or achievement that you've experienced as a pharmacy leader and lessons that you've learned from them?
Yeah, and I can go ahead and get started with this one. So I took my first leadership role as a supervisor back in December of 2018. So I had close to a year and a half of experience in that role before COVID hit. And as part of my role and getting adjusted to it in 2019, I went through things and updated our process to bring in new team members and was really excited for everything that we had developed with our students, residents, and interns in terms of planning. And then a year later, I was planning to coast through all the different strategies I had developed, and COVID hit in March, which meant that basically everything and that the way we did things was really being uprooted. And so I was fortunate enough to be able to work with a good collaborative team of preceptors and, you know, very understanding students and residents and a great team of other pharmacy leaders to be able to reimagine how we could do things differently and collaborate effectively while our teams were, you know, trying to social distance as much as possible, trying to develop strategies to still successfully onboard new team members, whether they were students, residents, or interns, and still create valuable experiences for those learners. I'm very proud that our team was able to come together and launch a successful initiation of both our pharmacy student, resident, and intern classes. I think that really helped those individuals get started, but it definitely took a lot of planning and reimagining things. And so one of the big lessons I learned from that process is to expect the need to be flexible and to maybe have to go down plan B and be prepared to go down plan B, because even if plan A worked the year before, it's definitely possible that things are going to change and that you're going to have to approach things differently. So I think just always coming forward with that growth mindset and being open to change and really trying to figure out, you know, how to make the best of difficult situations, those are some of the things that I learned as part of that process.
There's some great examples. I think the only thing I could add on to that would be kind of just tying together everything we've talked about. I think on a day-to-day basis, it's easy to feel that you're just kind of getting lost in the weeds. And there's a lot of things we talked about that, you know, sound great just talking about, but are difficult to actually implement, whether that be actually creating those relationships or working out, leading by example. But I think to answer your question, some of the moments or the most memorable moments for me were beyond those day-to-day things, when those tiny efforts on a day-to-day basis started to materialize into something bigger. And I think the biggest example for me was, I mentioned that when I started with the CT surgery team that, you know, they were resistant to having a pharmacist, but seeing how that consistency eventually led to the, not just the, you know, welcoming of a pharmacist, but the necessity of having a pharmacist on the team, really not starting rounds without your pharmacist being there, being invited to grand rounds, being asked to lead leadership initiatives and research initiatives. But I think the biggest thing for me with that was being nominated for the exemplification of teamwork across Mount Sinai Heart. And I think that was important for me mainly because my leadership strategy does revolve around teamwork and relationship building. So it was exciting to see those small efforts on a day-to-day basis lead to something greater. I think the other example for me was on a more nationwide level, being the recipient of the ASHP New Practitioner Award. I had been practicing for 8 years and assisting with residents and the residency program. And so being awarded such a prestigious award from ASHP was really exciting to see some of those efforts materialize and that consistency being rewarded. I think my favorite part of all of that, though, is that tying everything together, building relationships, demonstrating competence, embracing that collaboration. The most favorite part for me is when you do all of that and then you integrate clinical pharmacy, especially in a place where clinical pharmacy may not have been recognized or welcomed, is that it tends to create this ripple effect. And so when someone works with a clinical pharmacy team or a clinical pharmacist or a leader that they really recognize and see the value of, even when they go beyond the institution that they have practiced at or become a part of new teams, they will then take that and carry it forward and be like, you know, I worked with this really great pharmacist. Do you have a pharmacy leader or a clinical pharmacist here at this hospital that could do that same thing? And I think that just pushes the entire profession a little bit further.
Thank you both for sharing those amazing stories. I feel inspired that you were able to make such a positive impact on a team that it wasn't even just the team that felt it, but it echoed beyond their team, that everyone else felt the positive impact of your pharmacy leadership in that role. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. I want to thank Ami and Calvin for joining us today to discuss the transitions of new pharmacy practitioners into pharmacy leadership roles. Find more member-exclusive content, including resources for self-development, leading pharmacy enterprises, and teams and practice management on the ASHP website. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you enjoy this episode, please be sure to subscribe at ASHP Official Podcast.
Thank you for listening to ASHP Official, the voice of pharmacists advancing healthcare. Be sure to visit ASHP.org/podcast to discover more great episodes, access show notes, and download the episode transcript. If you loved the episode and want to hear more, be sure to subscribe, rate, or leave a review. Join us next time on ASHP Official.